Hello, good morning and welcome to the finance show, tiptv.co.uk. It is 10 a.m. on Tuesday, the 23rd of February, I hope. I'm sitting here with Simon French's chief economist, Panmure Gordon. He will be followed also by another man from Panmure Gordon, David Buick, and then Mark Ostwald, Mike Vindelken, Ryan Littleston, Connor Campbell, and myself, Zach Meir. Amazing. Right, Simon, lots of political news over the weekend, which we haven't been able to avoid, which is, I suppose, we maybe got a bit of fatigue on that front with the in-out, shake it all about stuff, but I'm sure we'll get onto that later. Just talk to you offline about the markets. The FTSE is just around 6,000, and we've had a 500-point rebound from the lows.
Yeah.
This is now the sort of the moment of truth as far as whether this, you know, is a bear market rally or just, or we actually are now finally recovering. But what would the drivers be for a final recovery?
Yeah, good morning, Zach. Look, I think the macro is such that the kind of precipitous falls that we saw at the start of the year weren't going to continue. Earnings aren't falling off a cliff, they're stagnant. They are marginal declines, but there's a very disorientated global economy, which means that sectors, the US manufacturing print was the lowest since October 2012. There's still pressure unwinding from the commodities, which will keep those valuations near their current levels. I mean, I have FTSE 100 at 5,800 for the end of the year, so that's down 200 points on where we are today. But, you know, such is the kind of the level of volatility in markets. Very difficult to get a firm driver on short-term price action, but certainly the rally's back to the levels we saw in April, May last year, just not conceivable in my mind, given where earnings growth is at.
But how much, I mean, clearly the markets have rallied on the basis of the central bank put being brought out. And what can that be? Because that's the problem. You've got the IFO data, which is the worst for 4 years. You've got this, the worst. You know, they've got all these bad, you know, the statistics are very bad.
I'll take issue with you. I don't think it was the central bank put, and I'd be exceedingly critical if central banks are getting back into that mode. I think negative interest rates are a bit of a fool's paradise. What you've actually seen is a quite a dangerous response from a macroeconomic view, is some expectation of cuts in the supply on the global oil market starting to support the oil majors that are spread into commodities. But not only is that sector still sort of heavily oversupplied with expectations of Iranian oil supply picking up later in the year, but also the consumer, the danger of signals going to the consumer that their oil price dividend, their energy cost cut that has really supported their consumption is going to go away. That becomes a real quite dangerous moment for a macroeconomist looking at the one bright spot on the global economy dashboard.
Okay, well, let's look at the slides today, sort of overview of what's going on. TipTV Finance app on iOS and Google Android. Also join us on, hopefully, the Tip TV family, at Official Tip TV on Twitter. And then what's trending? Euro, sterling and Brexit-related headlines. Will pound fall further? Brexit leaders of some of the UK's biggest companies, including BT, M&S and Vodafone, signed a letter noting that EU exit would affect jobs and deter investment in the UK. That's something which the Prime Minister's office seems to be quite keen on everybody signing. Is that, sounds a bit draconian to me.
Yeah, look, that's raw politics, and let's not read too much into Tesco and Sainsbury's not getting involved. Clearly the customer base, quite an emotive campaign, which, let's face it, if we're fatigued now, we're still 4 months out from the election date. In fact, 4 months today. And there are companies there who will be worried about their public profile and therefore not really a read on their economic standpoint.
So you want to actually, if you're a company worried about a reputation, you might want to just stay out of it.
Sit on the fence.
Whether you have a very big pro or anti stance?
Absolutely. Sit on the fence. The danger of alienating your customer base on both sides, because there is a polarised argument, very emotive campaign. Some of the public facing companies for whom brand reputation is key just don't, won't want to be any part of this, to be honest.
So that's not really good that they've got that sort of government-backed letter to sign.
Look, these letters, there's lessons from history, aren't there? The letter to Margaret Thatcher from those eminent economists in the 1980s.
I remember that well.
Well, exactly. What do letters tell us? Well, it tells us that the special advisers in Westminster have been very active behind the scenes, corralling CEOs with promise of knighthoods down the line should they support the government stance at this juncture. Look, the economics actually, for my mind, stands up to scrutiny in terms of the risks that they are citing around additional barriers to trade that would come should the UK choose to leave the European Union. But I don't think these FTSE 100 CEOs are doing that with that in mind.
OK. Lloyd's ready to pay dividends, I think up to £2 billion, but will the Bank of England let it? Another draconian angle there. And crude oil slipping as global glut offsets prospects of lower US output. Moving along, Mike's morning markets. Asian markets were led lower by China and the Bank of People's Bank of China cutting the RMB reference rate by its most in 6 weeks. Still tinkering away, but it didn't actually do anything at all. In fact, it made, I think it was actually a negative in the end. That's the other problem, that you're getting to such a stage of intervention that it's sort of starting to look rather desperate.
Yeah, I mean...
Law of diminishing effects actually leading into a negative effect in terms of what you're trying to do.
Well, look, if you're trying to devalue your currency, that's fine if other countries are trying to strengthen it. But the global economy, pretty much every geographic jurisdiction you look at right now, are trying the same game. They're trying to loosen their currency. It's a race to the bottom. It isn't going to work. And I think there's some real risks associated here with without international coordination from the IMF regarding getting central banks, monetary authorities to step back from constant loosening of monetary policy.
Right. Germany Feb IFO figure came in at 105.7, according to what I read here. So it was just a total miss in terms of the way that businesses are looking there. Presumably, they are really sort of concerned about what's going on at the moment. If you've heard a
comment. Yeah, there's chilling signals going forward, but actually the GDP print from Germany, again, 2.1% annual growth, 0.3% quarterly growth. Okay, not spectacular, nothing to write home about, but equally not in kind of recession territory.
Okay, next up we have Nicole Elliott at the Investors Chronicle. The world debt is still rising and stands at a record 200 trillion as at 2014. Since the financial crisis started in 2007, instead of deleveraging, I suppose that's very easy to say that afterwards, isn't it? So basically, trillions of debt. How is it going to end?
Defaults or inflation. I mean, this is the way that these things, of that scale get repaid. Very difficult to see growth and income tax receipts coming to the rescue of some very leveraged individuals. The point is which either inflation or government defaults, become politically the more palatable one to printing of money or taking on additional debt on top. Very difficult to suggest, although it's a spectacular number, $200 trillion, that a threshold has been breached. Thresholds have been breached, have been reported to have been breached in Japan for 20 years.
It only matters when interest rates go up, or if they go up. So that's the point. You're never going to default at a zero interest rate, are you?
Exactly.
Next slide from FX Street, Omkar Godbol, who is looking at this trend, half empty or half full. You're saying what on the FTSE? What would you say?
Well, I think we're looking at quite an aggressive rally back, which I don't think will be sustained. And I think we'll end the year lower than we are now, based on the core fundamental of earnings growth.
And you spot the difference. And I thought it was the same chart, but actually it's crude oil just tracking FTSE and FTSE tracking crude oil.
Well, it's the cross correlation, isn't it, that's up about 0.6 between the oil price and global equities right now in historically unprecedented territory.
And also actually a ridiculous correlation, because it should be the other way around. It should be inverse, really, shouldn't it? So anyway, there we are. The economics textbook's out the window. Not for the first time. Next slide. Right, broker forecast, Arm Holdings. I sort of keep an eye on that because of the relationship with Apple, and Apple possibly falling off its perch by recommendation from Peel Hunt, which seems to be quite brave. Paddy Power, I saw a new item about these sort of crack-like gambling machines, which have raked in £1.4 billion to various betting houses, such as Paddy Power. So they should, I think they're probably worth more than a hold on that basis. And then Royal Bank of Scotland, Deutsche Bank saying hold. Deutsche Bank probably the best positioned bank to comment about Royal Bank of Scotland, I think. But the thing here really is the slashing of the target price from 349 to
370. I think what's quite interesting about these last two particularly is we're starting to get into that position 4 weeks to go before the budget in the UK. Previous budgets have started to crack down on fixed odds terminals affecting Paddy Power's business. Royal Bank of Scotland, clearly the transition back into private ownership is key, with the Lloyds public offering having been shelved. Where does that leave RBS and its transfer?
I'm looking for them to be renationalised. That's a story that I want to see, you know, before the end of this parliament. But I mean, obviously, if Corbyn came in, they would be renationalised anyway. So it's we're hanging in the balance. So just a quick look at the charts and before we finish, Arm Holdings. Bounce off clear charting support there below 850, so hopefully back up to 1020 if the market holds up in general. Paddy Power, just amazing. I mean, that's a chart and a half, the gap there, and then in fact two gaps to the upside there, so they're obviously having a party after their merger with Betfair. And Royal Bank of Scotland, not quite a party at all. I mean, you just imagine sell into strength on that particular situation. Right. I think that's it, Simon. Just so basically a summary, FTSE near 6,000, bit negative going forward to the next the end of the year. You've got the budget, which is a bit of a cloud on the horizon as well.
Yeah, and we've also got Mark Carney. I'll just finish on this point, which is we've got Mark Carney in front of the Treasury Select Committee today. Quite interesting, a very, very dovish inflation report back in early February. But this second-order impact of sterling weakness will start to drive up imported goods inflation. And that, for me, is the risk going from a macro perspective in terms of policymaker action. Most people discounting the BOE moving right into 2018. But actually, a sustained and strong decline in sterling, which is now down 9% peak to trough, is very, very material. If the pass-through is about 20%, we're looking at about 1.5 to 2% increase in inflation versus last August's inflation report. That's very material for policy.
Especially if interest rates go up. Simon French, chief economist for Panmure Gordon. Thank you very much for coming today.